Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette dated Wednesday, September 13, 2017. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, A Canterbury Tale, Local Congregation Gets Peace from Its Mother Church, by Deborah Pressey, Champaign. A centuries-old piece of stone from England's Mother Church is getting a new home at Emmanuel Memorial Episcopal Church in downtown Champaign. The stone was once part of the Great South Window at Canterbury Cathedral and was obtained as a result of a restoration project. The Champaign Church is installing it as part of a year-long anniversary celebration of its building at 208 West University Avenue, according to the rector, the Reverend Beth Maynard. One of the local church's parishioners, James Schwartz, lives part of the year in England and bought the stone piece as a gift for Emmanuel Memorial Episcopal, Maynard said. The stone was installed Tuesday in the back wall of the church. A dedication ceremony is planned to be part of the 10:15 a.m. Mass coming up Sunday. Maynard calls this stone a unique commemorative treasure for her church. It's a corner piece that dates back to 1428, she said. Canterbury Cathedral is the mother church of the Worldwide Anglican Communion, of which the Episcopal Church in the U.S. is a part, Maynard said. So there's an actual connection of having a piece of our mother church, she said. The restoration of Canterbury Cathedral's Great South Window was a seven-year project completed in November 2016. Where it was possible, the stone from the window was repaired and replaced, but unused masonry, some dating back to the 15th century, was offered at auction last September to raise money for future work at the cathedral, according to its website. Receiving this piece of stone has been exciting for the roughly 400 members of Emmanuel Memorial Episcopal Church, Maynard said. We're deeply touched by James Schwartz's generosity, she said. The dedication ceremony Sunday will include a visit by Her Majesty's Lord Lieutenant of Kent, the Viscount de Lisle, MBE. The church choir has also found a 15th-century piece of music written at Canterbury Cathedral and will perform it at the ceremony. The stone will be presented by Schwartz and will be offered and dedicated with prayer as a permanent witness to God's glory and human artistry, Maynard said. Want to see this bit of history for yourself, but you're not a member of Emmanuel Memorial Episcopal? History and architecture buffs, Anglophiles, and others can join church members for the service and ceremony Sunday, Maynard said. The church seats about 200 people, and visitors are always welcome, she said. Champaign County Board. Executive salary will start at $117,000. Professional administrators still needed, officials agree. By Tom Kasich, Urbana. Champaign County Board members went on the record Tuesday night to affirm that the county should continue to have a professional administrator even after the election of the first ever Champaign County executive next year. And in a separate vote, they set the salary of the county executive at $117,269 beginning on December 1, 2018, and increasing to $122,006 on December 1, 2021. The vote was 11-9, with Democrats Lorraine Cowart, Patsy Petrie, and Geraldo Rosales joining with most of the board's Republicans, except Max Mitchell, in favor of the salary. An amendment to cut the salary to $70,000 a year from the entire four-year term of the position was defeated by the same 9-11 vote. Tuesday's vote was preliminary, coming at a Committee of the Whole meeting, and the question will be taken up again at next week's full meeting of the board. Mitchell, a Champaign Republican, said that he heard from constituents who were opposed to the higher salary. "I've been in the community, and the people that have talked to me didn't say that we need you to support $117,000. They opposed it, and they opposed it strongly," Mitchell said. But Petrie, a Champaign Democrat, said the county has to reverse years of poor decisions by the county board. "We're in this situation because of bass-ackward decision-making by previous boards on both sides of the aisle. It isn't one party or the other. This has been going on since the downtown jail situation, and it's stupid. We're doing stupid again," said the former county board chairwoman. She said the county board hasn't accomplished a whole lot because we haven't moved ourselves forward. She said the $70,000 salary wouldn't guarantee that anybody elected to this office takes this office seriously, sees this as a full-time job, and needs to move forward for the county. The salary of $117,269 would put the county executive position on par with the county sheriff's pay. So far, there are two announced candidates for the position: Democrat Darlene Klopel of Urbana and Champaign Republican Gordy Halton, currently the county clerk. Meanwhile, a resolution calling for a professional county administrator to serve with the elected county executive was approved 12-8, with the support of all the board's Democrats, plus Republican Mitchell. Urbana Democrat Chris Alex, who advocated the resolution, acknowledged it was largely symbolic and that it would not be binding on future county boards. But he argued a professional administrator would provide the county board with objective, accurate information. He said the county board members would be at a disadvantage if their only source of information is the county executive, a politician with an agenda and an ideology who might only want county board members to see their side of the story. Two board members, Republican Brooks Marsh and Democrat Shanna Jo Cruz, were absent. From the local section, by Jim Day, "Blagojevich still not sorry for what he did, but he's very sorry he's in prison." Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich may be out of sight, serving a lengthy sentence in a Colorado prison, but for at least this week, he's not out of mind. That's because he's given interviews to two Chicago media outlets, one magazine and one television station, that reveal what his prison life is like and include his reflections on his hyper-ambitious career as an Illinois politician. He was first a state legislator, then a member of Congress, and finally governor of Illinois. As most people remember, he crashed and burned as governor, was impeached and removed from office, and indicted and convicted on a series of corruption charges. One involved an effort to sell former President Barack Obama's U.S. Senate seat, which was to become vacant following Obama's election as president in 2008. That led to the early morning FBI raid on the Blagojevich's residence, starting with a phone call to the governor by authorities that they were outside and planned to arrest him. "Is this a joke?" the governor asked. It was no joke, as Blagojevich now understands. He's being held in a minimum security facility in Colorado, one without walls, that is located adjacent to a golf course and widely characterized as a country club-fed facility. But if Blagojevich was unrealistic in his understanding of his duty to the people of Illinois, he fully realizes that his freedom is restricted and his future is bleak. "It's really a prison," he insisted to a reporter from Chicago Magazine. His prison job is to clean floors, earning less than $9 a month in compensation. He reads and exercises prodigiously, tries to steer clear of trouble and gets along better with convicted drug dealers than he does with white-collar scam artists. Isn't that interesting, considering that Blagojevich's public life was that of a flim-flam man dedicated to moving ever higher up the political ladder? He was so busy running for the next office, Blagojevich even dreamed of the presidency, that he never gave much thought or showed much interest in the job he had at the time. Stories abound about his failure to come to work every day and his preference for staying home to read or go out for a jog. He abhorred dealing with complicated and difficult financial issues to the point that he would hide in the bathroom when his budget team would show up to discuss the state's increasingly shaky finances. He had a taste for fancy suits and nice ties, dyed his thick mane of hair jet black, and was suitably charming in any situation. Who can forget the time he showed up on the University of Illinois campus where he was confronted with tasteless Blagojevich sucks t-shirts worn by ill-mannered students? The governor posed for a picture with a t-shirt and a t-shirt wearer. Even now, he's a master of the one-liner, the kind that convinced even skeptical audiences that Blagojevich, the politician, wasn't so bad. My jurisdiction has shrunk from the fifth biggest state in America to these two floors, but I don't care what anybody says. I believe in clean government and clean floors, Blagojevich said of his former job of being governor and his current job of cleaning floors. His glib personality continues to serve him well. Blagojevich related an incident where he was able to defuse potential ugliness after he noticed that a group of big muscle guys were giving him a menacing stare. I didn't know what to say, so I said, "I'll never have arms as big as former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's, but I do believe my arms are finally bigger than former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin's," he said. Actually, Blagojevich wasn't just a bad governor, he was a terrible governor with a dollop of corruption on top. His tenure, following that of corrupt Republican predecessor George Ryan, began in January 2003, and it was a downhill slide into incompetence and corruption, setting the stage for the sickening financial and governmental dysfunction that currently ails Illinois. A slew of his former friends and political associates ended up in prison in connection with Blagojevich's ceaseless efforts to trade jobs, state contracts and grants, and appointments to public bodies for cash or campaign donations. In terms of size, the broad sweep of the Blagojevich corruption scheme has to be the most ambitious in the history of Illinois, a state whose history is steeped in governmental corruption at all levels. But even now, Blagojevich denies it all, and it appears that's not just for the sake of legal appearances. After a relentless series of appeals, in which 5 of the 18 convictions against him were thrown out, he's got one more shot, a request that the U.S. Supreme Court review his case. But he speaks of himself as an exalted victim who does not hate the people who have done this to me, and contends he's trying to clear his name as a gift to his two daughters. I believe I knew what the law was, and I followed it. To say otherwise and to give in to the pressure, the threat, and the fear of a long prison sentence would be to dishonor myself, setting a cowardly example for my daughter, he said. Now 60, Blagojevich isn't scheduled to be released until he's 68. He reports that he lives one day at a time and working on projects, writing, reading, working out, to pass the time and escape what he calls a deep loneliness. It is a hard and unhappy experience. My life has been brought to ruin. I live in exile, he said. Yingying Zhang, Vigil to Honor Missing Scholar by Ben Zichterman, Urbana. To mark 100 days since the visiting scholar Yingying Zhang was last seen, the University of Illinois will be hosting a candlelight vigil this Sunday. The vigil will begin at 6:30 p.m. on the quad side of Illini Union. In Chinese culture, 100 days after a tragedy is a day for family and friends to pay tribute, according to the event's Facebook page. The 26-year-old visiting scholar from China came to the University of Illinois in April to study agriculture and was reported missing June 9. 3 weeks later, Brent Christensen, 28, of Champaign, was in custody for allegedly luring her into his car and taking her to his West Champaign apartment. While Ms. Zhang has not been found, the FBI has said that she is presumed dead. Election 2018, Douglas County. Sheriff, Coroner Square Off in Public Safety Race by Tim Mitchell, Tuscola. A political battle is shaping up for next spring in Douglas County, where the sitting sheriff is facing a coroner with 24 years of experience for re-election. Fred Gailey of Tuscola confirmed that he will seek a second term as Douglas County Sheriff in the Republican primary. He's facing Joe Victor of Tuscola, who handily won plenty of elections over 2.5 decades as Douglas County Coroner. No Democrats have yet announced candidacies for the position. Gailey, 61, graduated from Tuscola High School and studied micro-precision technology at Parkland College. He worked part-time for the Tuscola Police Department from 1977 to 1978, left for the Douglas County Sheriff's Office 1978-80, and returned to Tuscola in 1981. From there, it was off to Nevada, where he served with the Las Vegas Police Department for 27 years, retiring in 2008 before becoming sheriff in 2014. "I love doing this job," Gailey said. "I have been a cop since 1977, and law enforcement has been in my blood all this time." Gailey said he is proud of bringing a police dog to the force. "We got a grant for canine equipment and a dog," Gailey said. "In addition, we started an annual canine fundraiser golf tournament at Kaskaskia Golf Course, and with the proceeds, taking care of the dog's food, care, vet bills, and any equipment." Gailey said he expanded the sheriff's office prescription drug turn-in program. A mailbox has been donated to the department to provide a place for residents to turn in the drugs. "We had someone sandblast the mailbox, and we had a painter donate time to paint it," Gailey said. The mailbox will be placed in the front lobby of the sheriff's office. Gailey said he supported 2 new law enforcement county ordinances. One allows people convicted of possessing less than 10 grams of cannabis to pay a fine instead of going to jail. The other prohibits patrons from bringing alcohol into clubs that feature adult entertainment. Gailey started an e-cigarette program for those county jail inmates who are addicted to smoking. "I also put decals that say, 'In God We Trust,' in all our new squad cars, using my own money," Gailey said. "For my next term, we will put the decals on all the sheriff's office cars." Victor, 63, said it is time for a change in the sheriff's office. He was elected as Douglas County Coroner in 1994. He was also appointed as director of the Douglas County Emergency Management Agency that same year, and he has served at both posts ever since. Victor said he will remain as coroner until he is elected sheriff. Victor established the ACE Ambulance Service in 1973 and ran it until 1996, when he sold it to Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. "I believe my vast experience in the public safety field will allow me to better address the needs of our citizens during the good times and painful moments that occur in our lives," he said. Victor said he wants to increase community policing in Douglas County. "I want to have deputies seen more out in the rural areas," Victor said. "The sheriff's office is responsible for the entirety of Douglas County, and where there aren't local police to cover an area, it is the sheriff's responsibility to step up and fill that role." As coroner, Victor led the effort to build the new Douglas County Annex building, which recently opened on the site of the former county jail. Victor said his background as coroner will help make him an effective sheriff, especially knowing how to be sensitive to the needs of crime victims. "I think my background enables me to deal with all the emotions that people may have in times of crisis and other circumstances," he said. "We work with all types of death. Each death affects families differently." Other races for county offices remain without opposition so far. Republican Bobby Murray said she intends to seek another term as Douglas County Treasurer. Murray, 53, was first appointed to the office in 1997 and has served for 20 years. "The best part of this office is getting to meet people," Murray said. She said she wants to increase automation in the office in the coming years. While not yet making an announcement, Judy Pollock hinted she will seek another term as county clerk and recorder. 4 seats are up for election on the Douglas County Board, 1 in District 2, currently held by Mary Bibby Appleby, 1 in District 3, currently held by Thomas Hettinger, 1 in District 5, currently held by County Board Chair Don Munson, and 1 in District 6, currently held by Jim Mikeworth. Urban Habitat. "For a Day, Cats Get a Parking Spot," by Melissa Merle, Champaign. Dog parks are common nowadays. Cat parks, not so much. But on Friday, in the city parking lot in front of the Orpheum Children's Science Museum, felines will have a spot as part of the one-day interactive art installation, Cat Parking Day. The park will occupy 1 metered parking space near Washington and Neal. If every dog has its day in Champaign-Urbana for 365 days, it's only fair that CU's kitty cats have their own play park, even for just a day, and even if the concept is pure fantasy, said Melissa Mitchell, a Champaign-based creative reuse artist, who is collaborating on the project with Ratio Architects. Of course, anyone who lives with cats would tell you that the idea of an actual cat park is absurd, doomed from the outgo. But as a creative exercise, it's a fun challenge. The Ratio Champaign office is sponsoring the simulated imaginary cat park, which will be open free of charge to the public from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Friday. It will feature cat-related art and other objects for sale, with proceeds going to Hospice Hearts, an all-volunteer Central Illinois animal rescue that provides care to elderly cats and dogs whose owners are no longer able to care for them. CU's Cat Parking Day is the local edition of an annual global happening called Parking Day. It was started in 2005 by Rebar, a San Francisco-based art and design studio that converted a metered parking space in downtown San Francisco into a park. The initiative is described by organizers as an open-source global event, where citizens, artists, and activists collaborate to temporarily transform metered parking spaces into parking spaces, temporary public places. The mission of Parking Day is to call attention to the need for more urban open space, to generate critical debate around how public space is created and allocated, and to improve the quality of the urban human habitat. The CU Cat Parking Day installation, on view Friday only, will feature all the amenities cats might desire: grass, ground cover, a custom cat tree, designed and built by Ratio Architectural graduate Travis Schies, a repurposed park bench suitable for cats and their people, and a mini aquarium catnip yarn ball station. The cat tree and bench, along with the cat-related art, will be up for bid in an all-day silent auction that will close at 6:15 p.m. Friday. The Crazy Cat Lady Art Posse, a group of artists Michelle recruited for the event, created the art that will be bid on. Stuffed animals and other cat doubles will populate the mini park. The new toy animals will be donated to local charities that assist children and families. The park will be partially enclosed by a fence constructed from reused wood pallets and painted in rainbow colors as a nod to the UP Center's Pride Festival this weekend in downtown Champaign. Ratio, which also has offices in Indianapolis, Chicago, and Raleigh, North Carolina, is transforming parking spaces in all four of its locations, said Champaign-based architect Ryan Hines. As a firm, we wanted to participate in Parking Day to demonstrate Ratio's commitment to enhancing the communities in which we live, work, and recreate, he said. Drug charges dismissed against man serving 25-year sentence by Mary Schenck Urbana. A Champaign County prosecutor dismissed pending drug charges Monday against an Urbana man who was sentenced to prison in late July. Assistant State's Attorney Larry Solava said in light of the 25-year prison sentence that Jermari Dorsey, 37, received in July after being convicted of having 22 grams of crack cocaine and 9 grams of heroin in his South Dodson Drive, he decided not to pursue additional charges against him. The latter charges of possession with intent to deliver heroin and cocaine and possession of a controlled substance stemmed from Dorsey's July 5 arrest at an Urbana motel. Dorsey had been convicted by a jury about 2 months earlier for having the drugs in his home in January 2016. And was awaiting sentencing at the time of his July arrest. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette dated Wednesday, September 13, 2017. Please stay tuned.